Welcome to the Face Rocker Podcast number 34. This week, Matt, Dez, and myself sit down with Grace Helbig, creator of the Daily Grace series of vlogs, as well as co-star on the Skyhook video that we did a little bit ago. Conversational topics include her adventures in the world of comedy, as well as high school sports, and among many other interesting, enlightening, and fantastical things. A quick thing I want to tell you about, we are doing a little partnership with Audible.com. If you head over there to audible.com/rocketjump, you can get a free 30-day free trial and an audiobook download. Recommendation for my massive library of knowledge, you should check out Lost at Sea by John Ronson. John Ronson is a Welsh journalist who writes incredibly strange. He finds the weirdest people in the world, and the articles are incredible. His narration is incredible. Normally, that would set you back 25 big ones, but with this promotion, you can get for free. So audible.com/rocketjump for a free audiobook and download, and hope you enjoy the podcast.
So it's like,
so I should buy some stock in Samsung, is what you're saying.
You can't, though, unless you can read Korean.
No.
We'll have a
You can't buy it unless you read. They have like a test.
Nope, you need a. It's a
their CAPTCHA code is just like all Korean.
Yeah, exactly. It's their way of keeping. It's the way of keeping foreign investment out. Yeah, exactly. It's an old school thing. It's post-Korean War. It's one of those things that they just instituted.
Makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
They absolutely sound great.
Yeah.
Sounds delightful.
So I can see this podcast is all about business opportunities.
Yeah. We're renaming it to the business podcast.
Talking about which stocks to buy.
Let's talk about our top picks. I just invested in some Ford stock.
Some Ford
there
stock?
Yeah, I'm a Ford Fiesta agent, so I felt that it was appropriate. I am single-handedly moving the stock.
The funny thing about stocks is like, it's like you think you're like, oh, I use this, therefore I should probably get in on it. I should get in on this stock. But it's like, mm-hmm. And it's like anybody who's like spending time looking at it, you're just like, that's not quite how it works, is it? But except for Apple is like the only stock where it's just like, hey, I use these, I should get it. But since it's a company that's just built around one product every so often, it's just like it kind of works because like that one product did really well. And stuff like, oh yeah, you guys shouldn't invest in Sony because their TVs come. It's like, you guys understand that.
So in a not so subtle way, you just said that Grace made a really
poor decision. It's a learning curve, guys. Yeah. It's my first time. I tried to invest in all these like makeup companies and their stock is expensive. It's crazy. I was like, I'm a girl. I was basing all of my stock choices off of YouTube trends. I was like, the beauty community is huge right now, so people are buying makeup. I need to invest in
Can I get in on Minecraft?
So this podcast is a how not to do business podcast.
We'll just keep going down that list. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, makeup's funny because isn't makeup like the number one stolen thing in department stores?
Oh, it's so gross. I mean, you guys should be glad that you're guys, because when you go to like a CVS or a Walgreens or something and you go to look at makeup, it's like women are savages and they could not wait to take it home. They have to test it in the store. Yeah. So you'll just like open a lipstick and it's just completely used and disgusting.
It's just it is weird. My girlfriend loves Sephora and once I'll go there and I'll see like just, yeah, like a herd of girls who are like on their way to a date or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like watching them and they're looking around. There's like, and they're just like opening things and trying it. Yeah. Like, it's just testing.
Just a path,
and it's just ravaged when it's done. I was like, how can you trust anything?
It's
insane.
Awful, aggressive creatures. Yeah. Like, when you got to get makeup on your face, you got to get it
it's
on your face.
It's going to happen regardless.
Yeah.
It makes sense. It was crazy.
I've stood in the middle of like a makeup store. It is probably like the most bizarre experience. It's like if you had a time machine from the 50s and you could pop someone in the one place in a mall or something that would like make them like just freak out, put in the middle of a makeup store.
I would say put them in the middle of an Apple store. From the 50s, they'd be like, what is this?
They have that Kool-Aid, like kind of like that 50s. Like I spilled coffee all over my computer and it broke, so we had to get a new one. And we all went to get it. And when I bought it, I was walking around.
Together?
Yeah. It was like a little group. It was a little group event. It was the writers. We went out, got a new computer. And I was walking out when the guy's like, oh, congratulations. And I was like, that's a little weird, but it might just be a thing he does. And I walked down and I was like, congratulations on your computer. It's like, who the hell says, I'm like, this is not a car or a house. It was the weirdest.
You didn't finish a 5K.
Yeah, like, oh, good job. I guess you make enough money to buy one of our overly expensive products.
Yeah, but
it's
you're
just
spending
such
a weird lot of money.
Wait, they congratulated you?
They said congratulations.
It's like buying a Kia.
Yeah.
I've never gotten congratulations in the Apple store.
Well,
now I'm
going
to go try.
Just to feel good about yourself.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
It was a nice pick-me-up. I was like, oh,
you
got to
go back and spend more money, Freddie.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
There must be a threshold of like, oh, I see you're.
Or it's a new thing. They're like, you buy a computer, you get it.
Yeah.
I see you're a premium Apple user. Congratulations, sir, on your fine taste. Yeah. This podcast sponsored by the premium Apple line.
Congratulations.
And
you buy yourself
Bulgari
an Apple.
Bulgari watches. The V or the U. It's silent.
Ooh.
Are you a big tech person? Do you use Apple products?
I just got this Samsung. Sorry. I'm obligated to say it three times during this podcast. I got the new Nokia Lumia 1020 mm-hmm. Windows phone.
Doesn't that have like a sick camera?
41 megapixels.
Wow, this sounds like all. Wait, real quick, just stop. This is not. We're not sponsored by anybody
except for Nokia.
Except for Nokia.
There are five people at Nokia.
But other than that, I'm not a huge tech person. Mm-hmm. I know very base, minimal knowledge of tech things. I enjoy tech products, but I don't, like, I'm looking around at all of the things in this room. I'm like, this is a complicated room right now.
Well, you're looking at, by the way, just for the folks
it's
who
like
can't see behind
the cameras.
She's looking at three Best Buy cameras and two
on tripods.
Lights.
Yep. Yeah. And that's a lot of stuff.
But they're really bright.
Yeah.
How do they work?
They're beautiful.
But don't you do all your own stuff? Like,
yeah,
do you film yourself and then edit?
I do everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I write it and I shoot it and I edit it. And I have a pretty basic system. I shoot on a Canon 60D because it's got the little pop-out screen so I can focus
Hell
on
yeah.
my face. I used to shoot on the 7D, but it was way too much.
And the system of mirrors that you set up was impossible to use.
I seriously would go behind the camera and then reach my hand out as far as I could and try and focus on my fingers and then try and sit where I put my hand. And so I would have complete videos that were entirely out of focus. But I was like, I'm not reshooting this. The internet will just have to deal with this.
The internet will have to squint.
Yeah, I'll just pretend it's like a artistic filter that I use.
Just turn it black and white.
Yeah, that's my go-to for Instagram when the pictures don't turn out very well. I'm like, well, it's a black and white filter for this one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We should talk Instagram strategy. You have 41 megapixels of Instagram strategy
now. Yeah, big time.
What are you going to do with that?
It's a lot of pressure. But my Instagram game has been stepped up big time.
So I have to say that I think we all on this side of the table all fall under the same boat here. We, and by fall into the same boat, we mean miss the boat entirely. We're on the shore waving at everybody who got on the Instagram
train.
We're
on jet skis.
Yeah. We're waving from
the beach. We're sitting here. We're on the beach rubbing two sticks together to try and figure out how to maybe make a boat.
Instagrams are kind of like electric cars to me. I know they're a thing and they're big and I should probably think about them, but I'm just like, it's a thing. People use it.
I don't use it at all for the purposes that people do, which is like it's a half – you know, self-promotional thing.
Right.
It's like Harley from Epic Mealtime, he'll put pictures from their store, new stuff's on there. And he's
great at using the video portion of Instagram. Mm-hmm. He takes hilarious vines
and
just Instagram
and
videos.
Likes on likes. And then for me, I'm sitting there like, I like doing landscape photos. and apparently, guess what doesn't get you tons of followers on Instagram?
Generic landscape photos.
Generic landscape photos.
It is the year of the selfie.
Jimmy, by the way, Jimmy, who kills it, he's like,
oh, yeah.
Yo,
I like Jimmy's photos all the time. I double tap that.
But my photos are. But like here's what hurts because I'm like, but my photos are better than Jimmy's. I look at my photos and I'm like,
well, you're
this
like,
is a well
the last
representation.
Time you uploaded.
No one.
Well, like I'm saying, like for example, like look at this. I shot this on the 4th Street Bridge at magic hour.
Yeah, it looks
the
like
composition.
It's like a postcard you'd buy.
Can they see that? Oh yeah, that looks like a screensaver.
Yes, like so. Who's gonna like that?
But I'm saying like from a compositional standpoint, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
From a sheer photographic standpoint,
yeah,
it's better than anything Jimmy's ever done.
However, I will say if your little face was down here in the corner,
and Jimmy said that, Jimmy's like, Jimmy, how do you do this Instagram thing? Because like I'm putting like some, these are some seriously, I think that they're
these
okay.
These photos,
are
sick, man.
Like this is like, look at this one of you and like this is like that. That's a piece
that's
of
a great
art
photo
from Matt and Dez here. This is them
that,
sitting magic hour, Dusty Austin.
It's, okay, here's the thing.
Bar.
It's too
here,
good.
Show the camera. Now here's the thing. And so I'm like, Jimmy, what? And Jimmy's like, yo, check this shit out, man. I'll just put my face on this. I already got twice as many
likes
as you.
What is this, like, anguished artist thing going on with Freddie right now? How do not enough people follow my Instagram?
Well, I just
look
don't
at
know
all
what,
the art
I just
I'm
clearly,
doing
I just
here.
Clearly have no idea what the right
well,
way
well, why don't you learn
Instagram.
From what Grace,
yeah, Grace
says she stepped
what,
up her
what
game.
What are your Instagram tips?
Yeah,
top 10 Instagram tips here.
Top
with
10
Grace.
Instagram tips, 1 through 9, photos of your own face. Number 10, a dog.
There you go.
That's all you need.
Jez should be killing it then. By all, by
yeah, get that dog, get
the
that
last
dog's face on there.
Instagram photo I uploaded was July.
Here, let's do an experiment. Let's do the experiment right now. Here's what's gonna happen.
My brother.
Here's what's gonna happen. All right, I'm gonna do an experiment. I'm gonna take an Instagram photo of Charlie here.
I'm gonna sign up. Sleeping. I'm gonna sign up for Charlie. Instagram while this is happening.
Right. Yep. Hold on. Instagram. Wait, you're gonna take a photo
and we're gonna see,
of the dog.
I'm just gonna see how many likes we get in relation to the relative amounts of likes from other.
Well, it's Grace. She should do an Instagram saying that she's on the podcast.
Yeah.
And see who gets more right
here,
now.
Here, yeah. Put Grace.
Give
and
me
the
dog.
Dog together.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it compares to your Twilight Hour landscape. Oh, yeah.
I went outside for that one. Right? Like, that's. Charlie. Okay. Oh, right. Charlie. And again, by the way, anybody who knows Instagram, the moment I took my phone out and held it sideways, like, what are you doing? You
what
have no
are
idea.
Doing?
It's a square. Charlie, 3, 2, 1. And Charlie's not interested at all. Charlie, here we go. Boom. All right, so I've taken it.
Your little heart is beating so fast.
People
blurry.
Not.
But you know what? No. You know
it's
what?
Blurry.
I'm going to keep it blurry.
Okay.
All right? Okay,
you
so let's just see.
Okay, everybody who's only listening to this, we apologize for this.
And anyone who's an animal lover, I'm sorry that we are exploiting them right now. Okay, what filter? Talk us through your filter choice.
Oh, can I talk about really quick? The funniest, like the one of the funniest things to me was, and this is gonna start horrible. Okay, but just give me like 2 seconds to bring it around from horrible
right.
to okay.
Oh my God.
After the Asiana Air crash, the first photo that came out and was published on all the news wires and stuff was of a Samsung executive who was in first class, stepped out, turned around, snapped a photo of the plane, and that got everywhere. The funny thing to me about that is that photo he snapped has an Instagram filter on it. So he sat there after a plane crash, after almost dying, took a photo, and then before he like posted it, put it down. It's like, oh, let me see here.
Can you default a filter?
Mayfair?
No.
Yeah,
he's
so
like,
he definitely
Kelvin?
Chose.
Rise, Kelvin. And he's swiping through, and he's like, Nashville's a little bit too low.
I
can't
high.
See the rubble.
And then he's like, ooh, should I do a filter?
That's
no,
a little
no, just
too gonna. Scary because we all lived... But it wants to be dramatic, so get some lighting.
There, okay, here we go. I'm going with Rise, which is sort of an orangey Fujifilm-esque filter.
It makes everyone's skin look great. Yeah. I will highly recommend Rise, an early bird.
I don't even know these by name.
Yeah, sorry.
You know
this
all
is my
the
life.
Filters.
So here's the, so, and
how often do you Instagram?
I try and Instagram once a day.
Okay, so
I just Instagram my sweatshirt from my car.
It's like
right before I got into
it. It's like brushing your teeth, Matt. You go one in the morning, one at night, and only weirdos do it 3 times a day.
Yeah.
So that's weird?
I try and tweet and Instagram at least once or twice a day.
Okay, so caption help here.
That is
okay,
weird. That is like a thing people do now. That's what you tell your kids. Kids, make sure you Instagram twice a day.
I just got a text from our producer who's listening out there. He says, I love Rise. Gray filter.
It's Benji.
Yeah.
Okay, so real quick, caption help. So I have your caption of you and our dog Blurry.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because we
doesn't
have a
matter.
Filter on it.
Yep.
Apparently that doesn't matter because rules 1 through 10 don't cover composition or blurriness.
Nope,
not caption.
At all.
Caption.
What is the caption?
Yeah,
it's like generic.
Just write caption.
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 And people
this
are gonna
is
be like,
a real
oh
placebo
my God,
test here.
You are so hilarious.
And I'll do with, and then what is your Instagram?
At
account?
Grace Helbig.
Now here's the thing. It's also your Twitter account?
Yeah.
I don't know this. I've already become irrelevant.
You have to connect it. You have to connect it to your
Twitter.
Instagram
to your Twitter.
It is. You have to connect it. Otherwise, when you go to post it on Twitter, it doesn't actually use your handle.
Okay. It has been connected. Here we go. All right.
Oh my God.
We're going to do caption, period, and then parenthetical because, you know, it's important to cite your sources.
Yes.
Correct.
With Grace Helbig and Charles Barkley, which will confuse basketball fans. But that's
Does Charles Barkley have his own Instagram account?
Des.
Oh.
No, but that
How
sounds
that,
like
yeah.
a brilliant idea.
It's great. Have you guys...
Des, have you tried at Charles Barkley?
Yeah.
No.
I bet it's available.
You probably grab it.
No, there's no way.
There's no way it's available.
I'll look
Try doing all caps. Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley.
No, Charles and just Bark is capitalized.
Can you turn one of the S's into a Z?
I don't even know how to search on Instagram. How does this app work?
I feel like I'm at a table with my three dads.
That should be the name of a podcast.
That's a great idea.
That's a weird podcast. Well, hi, we're your three dads. We just bring girls on the podcast.
I don't know how to,
three dads.
I don't know how to work
them
it.
Teach
I don't know
you new apps on your phone.
That should be your new show.
I'm working on it. I got the web series. It's incubating on HBO Go. Have you guys delved into the world of dogs on Instagram?
No.
Oh, God. There's one called Yogurt the Pirate, which is a one-eyed chihuahua with a tongue that like is twice its body weight. It is insane.
That's great.
There's a video of it eating fruit that will change your life. It's really just a treat.
So they have like that dog Instagrams like once a day or something.
That dog is amazing. It's so great. It had an article on Gawker. It was fantastic. But then there's other dogs like Manny the Frenchie. It's a French bulldog that sleeps in a sink. It's really just so cute. There's a whole world out there.
Okay. That's insane. So dogs are like the new kids. Like you get one and then you exploit it.
Yeah.
And they make money off of it.
Yeah.
So I got to get some animals.
Yeah. You got to get a dog.
Dogs are like the new kids. Really, Matt.
That's strange.
But yeah, that's a weird thing to say.
They have to have some kind of unique, adorable deformity.
We talk about that a lot, right? We talk about the pet lottery.
People just going through
because you could win. You go through that pound, you could win the pet lottery.
Well, there's probably people going through pounds like, does this dog do anything weird?
Can I get this dog?
Like, look at Lil Bub.
What's his Lil Bub?
The cat? Oh my God, you guys don't know Lil Bub.
We know about Bub.
We're three dads.
Oh, three dads.
Remember,
okay.
We're renaming the podcast. This is My Three Dads. Yeah. So imagine how you're sitting at Thanksgiving dinner with your three dads. So what is it that you've been up to?
What's his Lil Bub?
Lil Bub,
like Grumpy Cat?
I know Grumpy Cat.
I saw some of that. I was on Ellen.
It was on Forbes.
Yeah. It was on Forbes the other day. Great business model, that Grumpy Cat.
It was in the New Yorker. Grumpy Cat, Lil Bub is a little freak cat with giant eyes, and its legs don't work, and it pisses sideways, and then there's one called Colonel Meow, and I hate Colonel Meow.
I've seen Colonel Meow.
I hate it. I hate
is
that cat.
Is he an actual veteran?
No, Colonel Meow. The Colonel Meow's hair has some disease, so it just keeps growing. So it's just this like angry-looking cat face, and it's gray, and its hair is just out.
There's
like,
Lil Bub.
Lil Bub.
He's funny.
Lil Bub's adorable.
Little funny cat.
Yeah, he's made a living.
He's a kitty
cat.
Okay, that's Lil Bub.
How strange is it? Like, again, dystopian vision of society. But if you thought about this, hey, in 10 years, cats and dogs will become celebrities. Individual cats and dogs.
It's already happened.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you were 10 years ago talking to yourself, like, it's so strange.
Rin-tin-tin. Or Rin-tin.
Lassie.
Lassie. Yeah. This happened before.
No, but I'm saying, like,
Shamu had a movie.
Free Willy?
Free Willy, great movie, right?
Yeah, really great.
That was a great
sequels.
Movie. Damn, you're right, man. I didn't even think about Free Willy.
It is, but the idea of pets, though, in general, social media aside, is such a weird concept. Like, I just got a dog a few months ago, and she's wonderful and terrible, but the idea that we seek out these creatures that will die before us, that we keep them for a short period of time, just knowing that they're going to die before us.
And they're not our species. We're the only species that's like, hey, what? You're mine now.
Yeah, I'm going to put you.
I'm going to feed you and stuff.
I'm going to feed you. And
you're
gonna,
living here now, just so you know.
I'm going to feed you, and I'm going to put lights on you, and you're going to pay for my son's college.
Yeah.
We're using these little animals to pay for ourselves and our.
Well, I think most people don't do that. But yes.
I'm saying you could. I'm saying
but
to make
I think
yourself
people
feel better.
Are trying to now.
Trying to,
which
is strange.
So bizarre.
There's going to be a book, like a history book, that's going to be like...
Famous pets?
The moment.
How the world ended.
Yeah.
Beginning of the end.
Yeah.
It's called The Beginning of the End.
Just written by one guy, the last guy on Earth, just desperately writing it for aliens to come down.
Yeah, Lil Bub's got a book, too.
That's what I'm saying.
He has a book?
Matt, you don't even got a book.
I don't have a book.
You consider yourself a writer and you only have a book.
Bub's got a book.
These are animals. They don't even speak English.
They don't even write.
What a hack.
They don't even write. They cannot even communicate with human beings except for urination.
It's a picture book.
Yeah, it is. It's a... Well, no. Lil Bub's got a backstory.
Yeah.
Lil Bub's backstory is that she is an alien sent from space to make us all happier.
Lil Bub's got swag.
Yeah.
Lil Bub is so popular, Matt, that Lil Bub got a ghostwriter to handle his autobiography.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Like, think about that.
Give Lil Bub a podcast.
Yeah. Get that cat on this podcast.
We had that idea years ago, by the way.
Oh, we did.
To have an animal?
And to be fair, I think that this is... It's
racist
almost
cat.
Well, yeah. So Racist Cat was one of our videos way back, and okay. it was a technical. It secretly was a technical test.
Okay.
To see if we could make an animal's mouth move a la Babe and the Babe 2 right. movies, because one of the ideas was we wanted to make
Plato, my cat, just being like a working actor.
A working actor cat.
And he's doing vlog like actors do. Yeah, and we're just talking about his day in Hollywood, and we just have him talk.
He has an agent who's a dog who doesn't speak and just like barks at the phone and stuff. Oh, we had all this other stuff.
And the cat was going to be racist?
No.
That was the video that we did put up was a test of the mouth movement and stuff. He was going to have two channels. One channel was the vlog, right?
Yeah.
And the other channel was going to be his acting reel where he does scenes from movies, which actors do. So it's going to be like, you know, Glengarry Glenn Ross, but with a cat. And it would just be like him, like, in a,
why
you know,
did this
shitty...
idea die?
This is still gold,
yeah.
by the way.
It's a good idea.
It's the, still, busy now's now. The time.
It's still a diamond ore buried within
it. Now, if we don't do it by the time this podcast goes up, someone else will do it.
Yeah. Someone's
well,
got
no,
it.
Because no one else knows how to do it.
That's true. It is a hard effect. Or not hard, but
it's just involved and complicated.
It's super hard to find teeny tiny costumes.
Well, you got to make them yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've tried. I now just put clothes on my dog because she just allows us to put clothes on her. So I've just been putting t-shirts on her like crazy and taking photos and putting them on Instagram. And it's a great.
It's working.
80,000 likes later. It's like.
It's crazy.
Well, and also, and then the funny thing is, like, you know, because our parents know about it, because we kind of touched on this. Our parents know about this stuff. Like, I think my mom knows about Grumpy Cat, but again, it's from traditional news sources. It's from, like, the moment,
like
Forbes
Ellen.
Or Wall Street Journal has a thing. I was like, the model of pets nowadays.
Yeah, my mom probably knows about Kanye now.
Do your parents Ellen, really? Have Twitter or social media?
No.
My parents have a Facebook.
Do they know what you do? Like,
yeah,
understand
they,
it?
They get it. My mom's been in some of my videos, mm-hmm. and she went to VidCon last year for the first time this year, and people were like taking photos with her, and she like did not understand but was having like explosive happiness happening, like she was having the time of her life. But my brother and I, an iPad mini for Christmas last year. So now she just takes videos of the decorations in her house and sends them to us like every single day. Yeah, it's pretty great. But she has not figured out Twitter yet.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
Has there been any social media person whose parents have like jumped on the bandwagon
and surpassed them? How great!
Or like done really well, but
that'd
like the person clearly didn't want them to. Because like right, your mom right now could be like, I could fucking, I could do this.
I could run this town.
Be Grace's mom, like I have a cooking show or start
she
doing
could.
It. And then...
I've encouraged it. I'm like, you need a hobby. Here, use the internet for something. But she, the most she'll do is that when I come home and I shoot a video with her. Mm-hmm. Or whenever she already has pre-planned video ideas. Like she just writes them down.
Oh, my parents, my mom has those too. She's like, you know what you and Jimmy should do?
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Yeah. Oh. And now she sends me videos from YouTube, but like all old viral videos being like, just saw this. This is hilarious. Have you seen this?
That's great. Yeah. I feel like my dad would kick ass in Hollywood now because all of his ideas that he pitches me are like, you know what you should remake? This old movie that I love and that old movie that I love. He would come out here and clean up.
Yeah, get him out here.
Yeah,
my mom will do the it's like, you know what you should do? You guys should be more like this Ryan Higa. I really like him. Like my mom like loves Ryan Higa stuff.
Really?
Yeah, she's like, he's so funny. Like, thanks mom.
That's sweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Moms are sweet.
And again, I think, and people know this, but my mom will text Jimmy and I like very frank appraisals of our abilities, just straight up.
Really?
After seeing a video, she'll be like, "That one was good, Freddie. Your acting wasn't though."
That's great.
Like, this is so like, thanks, mom.
Oh God, yeah. That's my parents watch all of my videos now, just because I don't call as often as I should, so they just watch them to make sure like I'm still living. And I'll get my mom being like, "You need to stop cursing. You have to stop doing it. You're being a disgusting pig." Like, mom, it's the internet. I'm allowed. Wow. Yeah, sweethearts.
What was it in your history you think set you on this path?
Of internet?
Yeah, internet.
Oh, I don't know. When I was in high school, I was very like awkward and shy and into sports. And then AOL Instant Messenger became a thing. And I was
which became its own sport, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Warning people?
Warning game.
I was like, I love the internet. And I would go into like Yahoo chat rooms and do all that kind of stuff.
What was your first name? What was your first
username?
What was my first user? One of my first usernames, which is my first ever YouTube channel, is Gracie H in a Box.
Gracie H.
Yeah, I had a friend in high school named Emily that just walked into my science class one day and just started going, Gracie H in a box. Great, for no reason.
No
Where
reason.
Is she now?
in a mental institution. She's married and living in New Jersey. I think she's a teacher of some sort. And so that was one of my first usernames because I was like, I'm not going to sell out and get a bunch of numbers at the end of my name.
Yeah, that's like the ultimate like, yeah, you weren't here. Yeah. Get out of this party.
Right. What was yours again? Mine was Fox Mulder 24.
That's great.
I love foxes. I rocked. Big X-Files man.
Because again, so it depends on the context, but yeah. I rocked. I had ICQ for the longest time, believe it or not.
Of course you did.
What do you mean, of course I did? How dare you?
ICQ was like the hard AOL. Like the, yeah,
it was AOL. I had, I'm gonna drop a little piece of knowledge here, and then there's gonna be three people in the entire, everyone's listening, there's gonna be three people and be like, oh, damn. Like they're gonna think
that's why he uses ICQ.
Yeah. I had an 8-digit ICQ number.
I don't know what any of that means.
Neither do I.
Because ICQ assigned you number, like a number. That was your username, was a number.
Was a number.
And it grew as
wait,
it went
what
on.
Is ICQ?
ICQ is one of the original instant messaging applications. It was there before AOL. And it assigned you a number, and you could put a nickname to that number. But the number grew as time went on. So to have, by the time it was 9-digit, 10-digit. So to have an 8-digit one, not as good as a 7-digit one, but to have an 8-digit number was pretty rare. I mean, you
so
were
you
on
were one of like
early.
The founding fathers of this.
No, not really. No, not so. But here's the, but again, so on ICQ, it's just numbers. Uh-huh. On AOL IM, I was FWONG. I was FWONG. I've kept that one.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've continued to use it. But then my email was LeetHacks4Dude.
Really? Was it really?
With threes and
no.
zeros.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, man.
That's like a joke.
Nope.
No,
100% real.
That's
100% real.
Hey guys, how's it going? Jimmy Wong, aka Ted from VGHS here, telling you to check out shop.rocketjump.com. We've got brand new merchandise like iPhone cases and iPad decals to shirts, Blu-rays, and posters, including brand new Season 2 designs from our friends at Danger Brain. There's also the incredibly popular VGHS hoodie, and some of our older shirts are on sale for a great price. So make sure you check it out right after this podcast at shop.rocketjump.com. Thanks so much, guys.
Guys,
I honestly don't.
Dez was too cool.
Maybe my brother does. I'll ask Benji if he remembers.
So you got an AOL and you're chatting up and you're like,
loved
this
it.
Is this
ASL,
is the future.
Just ASL and left and right.
I just want to talk to people.
Yeah, love the internet. And then Facebook came out when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember finding out, MySpace first.
Yeah.
And then Facebook.
Were you on MySpace?
I was on MySpace.
Jimmy was on MySpace.
Yeah.
I was on MySpace.
I was into MySpace. I found out about MySpace because my boyfriend at the time, I was like, what are you, this is MySpace.
Porn.
And he'd been on it for like months and months and months and hadn't told me about it. I was like, what are you doing? And then I instantly.
Who's this Tom?
He is very good looking. And and then I got on MySpace and then I took some editing classes and I saw these two girls. They weren't on YouTube, but they were called Beth and Val. Mm. And it was the first vlog that I'd ever watched. And it was just these two girls. I think it was on like some first version of Funny or Die type of website, and it was just them, and they would get one question sent to them from their audience, and they would just sit and edit it, and it was the first time I ever saw jump cuts happen, and I was like, this is cool. I could do this. And so my college roommate and I started making these videos after we graduated and we moved to Brooklyn from New Jersey, and it would be like how we hung out. At the end of the day, we both had jobs. And then we'd come home and drink wine and put a camera on and talk about anything. And then we would each take turns editing it. And we put it up on a channel called Grace and Michelle, which is like our first. Well, first, we put it on our separate channels because we had no idea how YouTube worked at all. We're just like, oh, you edited this? Okay, you put that up. Okay, I'll edit and put up the next one. So we just had these random videos everywhere. And then we're like, oh, maybe we should create one channel that all of these videos just live on. And then we created Grace Michelle, and we did that for a while. And then,
are they still out there in the ether?
Oh, yeah. I went back to New York last month, and we shot a video.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Still rocking it.
Yeah, but it's the first video that we had shot in a year. Mm. So it was, it's still live. Yeah.
What was your day job?
When I was in college, I interned like crazy. I was always like, overachiever, I had six internships when I was in college. And
in what industry? What were you trying to do?
Communications. Like I wanted to be a screenwriter, wanted to be like TV film writer, and I wasn't even getting college credit for them because you at my school were only allowed to do one internship for college credit.
And if you,
but
oh my
goodness. Yeah, in my like nerd overachiever world, I had made photocopies of my advisor's like permission slip to do internships.
No way.
And I would register for another internship and hand them that paper. Yeah. So I was just doing absolute definition of free labor for Viacom.
You forged someone's signature
so that I could do free work for MTV and Noggin and the N.
Wow.
Yeah, I was big into it, but was doing that, and then after I graduated, I got hired in the N, which is now Teen Nick and the N, like they merged mm-hmm. together. I got hired in their project management department, which was just me overseeing one graphic designer who was like this crazy flighty girl that lived one block from the building that we worked in, but I would have to call her and wake her up every morning to come to work.
It's like, I'm your project manager.
So you're literally like her maid of
basically.
Some sort. Like,
yeah.
She lived, she came over, you woke her up.
Yeah, and so I did that for a little bit, and then I got into comedy, and I realized that I wanted to pursue comedy. I was doing improv at the People's Improv Theater at that time, and I was like, I hate this day job so much. I think I had it for, it was only supposed to be like a temporary 3-month thing, but they extended it and I was there for like 8 months or so, and then I quit and I started waiting tables at a place called Houston's, which is just a fancier Chili's basically.
Yep. Yeah. Not that fancy.
And then and then when I started getting paid to do Daily Grace, I quit that.
From, because you became a partner, or?
I started working for a website called MyDamnChannel.com. Mm-hmm. And so we started making Daily Grace, and that became my full-time job, and I got to quit and work from home, and it was really wonderful. Yeah, there super cool.
Did you quit in a cool, entertaining way? Or
no,
was it just like
I think I just, I stopped going. I'm awful at quitting jobs. I hate any sort
just,
of-
You didn't tell them?
I didn't tell, I just stopped going. I hate any kind of like conflict or any sort of like-
Somewhere there's a spinach cheese dip just sitting
I
on
know.
The counter. So no
well,
one
one, I was the most medium waitress of all time. For, like I, all through college, in tandem with having internships, I worked two jobs.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I would work at an Applebee's during the school year, and then during the summer,
which is, by the way, a slightly worse Chili's.
Yeah. Yeah. it's pretty crazy. And then I was a tennis instructor on the weekends, but
we're getting into that in just a second.
Yeah, it's quite a world, but yeah, I don't even know where I
Wait,
was
Wait, so are
this.
You like just crazy good at tennis?
No, not at all. No.
That's even better. Who are you instructing?
Tiny kids with really, really rich parents that didn't want to spend time with them. So it literally was, someone put a flyer up on my campus. It was like, hey, make $15 an hour and work outside and have like you make your own schedule. And I was like, what is this? And it was this guy named Barry, and he
even say it was about tennis. That was the whole pitch.
Well, there was like a little clip art photo of a tennis racket. And I was like, oh, I think I get this. And so I went.
But you wouldn't state it. He didn't feel like the need to state tennis instructors needed.
No,
just work outdoors.
More. I've just always wondered who takes those flyers, and now I
this
know.
Girl.
We know.
This girl.
Someone who has six internships and a job already.
Yeah. I was like, I have an hour free on the weekends. How can I fix this?
How can I fill it with $15?
Yeah, and it pays really well to be a tennis instructor. And he would raise our rates every 6 months. So by the end of college, I was making $20 an hour teaching kids how to play tennis, which essentially boiled down to me just standing and throwing tennis balls at them for them to hit over the net.
Did you get to try and to serve? Because there's nothing in my mind funnier than a little kid trying to serve
a tennis ball. You had the whole system. You put the tennis racket back, you scratch your back with it, and then you throw it up, and you hit it right over. And I would teach mainly like 6 to 10-year-old mm-hmm. kids, and then every now and then there'd be like a 14 or 15-year-old kid that I'd have to like hit with, and they were always like really good.
Oh, no.
And so it'd be like me like trying to be like, oh god, I'm just letting you win. And
Dad, I don't think she's a real tennis instructor.
No,
like, this
no.
guy's getting ready to play the pros.
Yeah.
It's like, my scratching the back part on my serve I need some work on, but I don't think she's a real instructor, Dad.
No, yeah, she just duct taped two golf gloves together and is trying to hit a tennis ball with them. I was not good at all, and I was kind of like the like tennis is for rich people and everyone has really nice equipment and like it's a status thing to have like a nice racket and to have like the bag and the clothes, and I would literally show up in almost exactly what I'm wearing right now, like old sweatshirts that I got from my dad and like cut off sweatpants that had stains all over them, and I'd be like, okay, rich kids, let's play tennis. But it was great. It was really fun.
Did you get and you got to work outdoors?
You
and
got to, yeah, and you got to make fun. Your own schedule.
But what a weird roundabout way of advertising that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It didn't make any sense. But he was a great guy. Barry was one of the nicest bosses I've ever had. He bought us all. He was very well off. He used to be a professional tennis player. And so for Christmas, we'd all look forward to what we got from Barry for Christmas because he always like bought us really nice things. Yeah, it was great. I recommend being a tennis instructor to anyone.
If you're looking for a gig,
yeah, if you have hands that work, you can do it too.
And don't hate children, apparently. You must, yeah.
No, you can hate them and still instruct them. You just have to keep it quiet.
That's what most people teach.
Some of them were awful. True. I had to teach in Franklin Lakes, which is where The Real Housewives of New Jersey takes place, just to give you some context. I had to teach these two half French, half German.
Whoa, how'd that happen?
Yeah, their mom was from France and their dad was from Germany. And they spoke French, German, and American English. And they were awful. They were the most spoiled. It was a brother and sister. They hated each other so much. So they just spent the entire time trying
to hate. The French side hated the German side.
Yeah, and the mom sat and was on her cell phone the entire like 2 hours that I had to try and like work specifically with just these two kids. And they would just the whole time try and hit each other with tennis balls and like disregard everything I said. I can't yell at them because they're not my children.
The mom's there.
And the mom's right there, but could give less of a fuck about anything. It was awful. So
a metaphor for World War II, actually, if you really think about it.
It's true. Yeah. It's really true. And
who's Grace in that?
I'm the UN.
Switzerland. Switzerland. Yeah, it's totally neutral.
Or sorry, the League of Nations. Excuse me. The League of Nations. I'm sorry, everybody.
Did you guys do sports when you were younger? Yeah. That's how guys talk to each other, right?
Yeah, who's the sports?
My three dads, sports talk. Hey, hello, everybody.
Whoa, did you say sports? All right, guys, let's talk about this.
Sports.
Talk about
my sports ears now. Just perked up because I think we're talking about sports.
Are you into football?
Yes, no, I am.
No. We had a fantasy football league, and I haven't checked it.
We did have our first office fantasy.
No, I've won like 2 games or something.
I think we all lost. Nobody won anything. That's how terrible we were at fantasy football.
You guys,
I know.
No, just fantasy football. No,
that's family's like wrestling like legends.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Did you?
I don't know.
Did you do wrestling like when you were in high school, college?
I did.
And
I did
got
wrestling.
The ears to prove it.
My father was is a known wrestling coach. We were inducted into the Indiana Wrestling Hall of Fame a couple of years ago.
Did you have to do all the crazy things to like drop weight and stuff like that?
Yeah, we had to cut weight, the plastic bags and the spitting in the cup to lose an ounce.
Yeah, yeah, all the wrestlers would walk around my high school with paper cups all day, and it was so disgusting.
That's pretty gross.
Jolly Ranchers. Just suck on a Jolly Rancher.
But there's sugar
spit into a cup all day. If you did that
that's
all day,
weight?
You could lose like maybe a quarter of a pound if you're lucky.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Ladies for bikini season.
it was awful.
Maxim presents top tips for bikini season from the pro wrestling family inducted in the Indiana Hall of Fame.
The wrestlers in my high school, I remember when I did indoor track, we would practice in the hallways. And so the wrestlers would always be doing the craziest exercises in the stairwells.
Yeah.
They would have to put each other on each other's back and run up and down the stairwells. And the stairwells would just fill up with steam from sweat that it was so
like
disgusting.
A major liability issue there.
Yeah, it seems. Yeah. But they're all wearing sweatshirts, sweatpants, and like hats and all this crazy stuff. So they just sweat on each other the whole time.
It was disgusting.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you did indoor track? What is indoor track?
It's track inside.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's all it is. It's rubber, right?
Yeah.
It's
rubber.
Track.
You don't have spikes in your shoes.
Okay.
There's, I did track was like my main sport that I did in high school.
And what events did you run?
I did hurdles and high jump and long jump. And I did pole vault for a short period
of
time.
I did pole vault.
Did you?
Yeah. What's your PR?
like 8 feet, maybe.
I had a horrible one.
Oh, it was so bad. My body's not built for pole vault.
No,
my body's
and neither
built,
is mine.
No, yeah. And I was like, oh, I could do well in this because there's hardly any girls that do pole vault. So all I have to do is make it over the first height at any meet, and then I place.
That's true, actually.
Yeah.
That's quite true.
Yeah. And so, but my legs are really long, and my torso is really short, and pole vault's about like using your legs and your
strength.
Core,
yeah,
and
no.
I could not do it. I looked... Like, people would take, like, my parents would come sometimes and take videos, and I would, like, watch the videos back, and I look like a total and complete spaz, just, like, trying to lift my whole body over this pole that's, like, this high off the ground. Ugh, it was so fun. What's your PR?
11.6.
Whoa.
Horrible for guys, though. Horrible for
guys.
Yeah, guys are, like, you should be at the high school level, like 13, 14 feet, something like that.
It's crazy. crazy, crazy, crazy. Yeah, but track was my big thing. High jump was like my main thing.
Every single meet, almost as a joke. Yeah. Every single meet, I would be like, "Hey, coach, throw me in on the high jump." And every single time, three faults in a row. And I was just like no form whatsoever. It's just like one of these days.
It's just you jumping into a mat.
Jump straight under it. Yeah. I know. One time I did shot put in a meet because they were like, they don't have enough shot putters. So if you want to do it, you can do it because we got like points throughout the season.
Right. Give me those points.
Yeah, so I did shot put and I was so awful at it. I like displaced my elbow like instantly.
Did you have a big school? Because I feel like that's what track and field is. Because I did track and field.
I had a very small school.
Yeah,
actually.
Same here.
That's what it was. It was like at a meet that you just suddenly learn new events that the coach didn't like. Oh shit. Discus, who does discus?
Yeah,
you and you go do discus.
I got called in for like,
the beats were just crazy.
Oh, yeah. We're doing the 4x4. You need to run the first leg of that. I'm like, I don't run.
Yeah.
I was like, go. And I remember going and be like, oh, okay, you know what? I got this.
Yeah.
I got this.
Yep.
1/3 of a lap later.
Oh, what is this? This was a horrible decision.
And it's always like different. You'd like, it'd be like, you know, I finished like a 200 and be like, and the announcer would be like, all right, that's the 200 meters. And now we're going to do the 300. And we're like, what the fuck's the 300? Do we have a 300 meters? Like, just go in, grab five kids and put them in there.
And then
at the end, it's like some team wins. Like you don't know who's doing what. It was always madness.
It's always chaos. Yeah. At one point I did triple jump because
there's like
you did long jump. Okay. Let's just add a skip.
Two more.
I just jumped three times. No, this is you jump twice and then jump again. It's like, what's triple jump?
Yeah, what situation would I ever use this?
No, exactly.
That's a weird one. Triple jump's a weird one. It's like who?
There's a river with rapids. Thank God I learned the triple jump, guys.
Yeah.
There's three rocks
that
in the middle.
That are so evenly spaced, but I can make it if I triple jump.
That feels like the long jumpers were just like fucking around one day and like, you know, I'm tired of just being a long jumper. Like, I sit here, I do one event, and I'm here all day. Let's like, I could do this.
We had a meet on the during one of my high jump attempts. We had a meet where one of the kids went up, but like neglected, like in his head was like, okay, I gotta go up and over, but he got the up part, not the over part. So he basically just ran straight up, jumped, and then fell on his back. And everyone's like,
oh my God.
Wow, that looks.
Did you have
like
any serious accidents?
I had a couple of fairly serious pole vaulting incidents.
It's super dangerous, especially for guys. Yeah.
So football's statistically more dangerous just because football's more dangerous because in terms of raw numbers, because more kids die in high school year from football just because there's more kids playing it.
Right.
Pole vaulting will, without fail, like kill a kid a year in the United States. A few. Yeah. It almost like a state-by-state basis. So enough so that like every state, usually state-by-state basis, I don't know in your case, but Washington State was seriously considering requiring helmets.
In New Jersey it wasn't a requirement, but some kids would wear helmets.
It became a thing because you're up in the air.
Yeah.
So the problem is this,
there's
pole
that metal box.
You're putting a pole inside
when you're going super high.
Yeah.
Well, but here's the thing, what's weird and difficult about it, because in the process of going super high, you have a lot of forward momentum. You're running into it. You've got 13 step run, 12 step run. You're going to, and you're getting up in the air. But in order to you basically need to swing your entire body
like a pendulum,
forward to stop your forward momentum so that you can then get around and or slow it down to a point where you just have enough to get over the bar. Ideally, right? The problem is then, that's so complex of a movement that there's a lot of times where you go up and you stop your forward momentum. Now that you're stopped, you're upside down, 12 feet in the air, and you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And then you start falling back, or people let go or whatever. So I've definitely let go from a distance, and I've managed to, like, in the air realize that was a bad idea. Should have held on. And as I was falling like a cat, twist myself so that my head didn't hit the box first. And then I had this weird – oh, yeah, go for it.
I was going to say, I got hit by a cart.
What?
Yeah. So
who brought a cart to a track meet?
Wait, what?
before I discovered video games, I was very athletic, and I was that. I had records for 400, I was on. I was running a 400 in a major meet, and they didn't know a race was running. And one of the guys who like brings cones around just broke his cart out. And just took me out.
What?
Yeah, it took me out. It absolutely hit me. And like, they didn't redo the race because nobody fucking cares when it's like elementary school. But I got nailed out. So I was like last place. I remember my coach screaming and all that stuff. But I was just like, ow. I got taken out. I couldn't run for the rest of the race because it like hit my, I didn't break anything.
You must be one of the only people in the history of track events
yeah.
to have been injured in an automobile
That's
accident
what it was, like,
while running a race on a track.
I distinctly remember the guy's face. I distinctly remember looking up at the guy like this, and the guy was like, like, yeah, I'm fired. Like, clearly, there's one thing that could get me fired in this job, and that'd be hitting a kid on the track. And that's what I just did.
Somewhere in the universe, that man is telling a very different side.
Yeah, he's like
story.
This fucking kid just running out of the middle of nowhere. Yeah, it was pretty dramatic. Yeah.
So I had a couple pole vaulting accidents, and the funny thing is, my coach was like, he thought the way I pole vaulted was hilarious, because like I would get up, I wouldn't fully go upside down for a while. I finally got the form down after like 2 years, but I would just like spin off the pole. Like the pole would bend, and I would get up there, and then it would just go boing, and I would just there were times I would land on my feet in the box. In the pad, and just go.
Here I am.
And it was like after doing like
gymnastics,
like a full 360. Like I did a 720 and then landed. I was like, do I get points for sticking this sick landing? And everyone's like, he cleared it. Yeah. So, you know.
Everyone has their own technique.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to go to this college every year during our high school track meets. That's like where our states were or whatever. And every 2 years in a row, we would do the. What was it? 4x1 hurdles?
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so
that's the relay with the little baton.
No, it's actually they put the hurdles up on the straightaway, and then they set one line of hurdles going one way, and then right next to them a line of hurdles going the other way. So you're four people split into two, and then so when they pass you here, you start go the other way. And 2 years in a row, like we had a really decent. That's the one thing, we had such a tiny track team, but we had a decent hurdle relay team at one point. And we would get to states, and for 2 years in a row, our first girl of our hurdle team would fall on the first hurdle.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's it was this girl, worst. Eileen, 1 year, and this girl, Tracy. And
I fall.
Yeah, it was amazing. And it was always like, God! Oh, she's super hurt. God! Like, you're so angry, and her face is, like, skinned off of her face. It's crazy.
Her face is skinned off her face. That's...
So track, really dangerous, but super rewarding. It's gotten us to where we are today.
Literally, yeah.
Yes, where we all started.
All three of us completely unfit on this side of the table to pursue any sort of physical activity.
Yeah.
Dez, still able to put people in chokeholds, probably.
Yeah, Dez could beat us up.
I got a good chokehold.
Can you do any of those, like, I don't know why this would be a wrestling technique, but can you do any of those, like, touch and that person is, like, asleep?
No, but
those
that
magic things
awesome.
You mean those in magic things in movies?
Yeah.
You're a wrestler, they
taught you pressure points, like the 9 meridians of the body, right?
Like a 5-point palm exploding heart technique.
Yeah, absolutely. That's standard Greco-Roman.
I know that one. That's the one I know.
The one
I know.
One
but I can't use that one for obvious
reasons. This is my dumb question. Are those based in any reality?
And it's like it goes to like the acupuncture and acupressure sort of stuff. And there are
pressure
definitely points.
Yeah.
That, but like, they're definitely like dead arm and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's dead arm stuff.
Kids did that in elementary. Kids are cruel.
If you can hit someone,
a pressure point.
I remember one time I was like, Jimmy, I heard about this one where it's the where your bicep and your tricep meet. In between there's a main nerve.
Yeah.
So if you do a boom right in the middle, I'm like, hey Jimmy, let me try this out. He's like, yeah, all right. I was like, what? And he straight up couldn't use his arm for 2 days. Like, it was just dangling uselessly by his side. I was like, that was so sick. I was so pumped that it actually worked.
Napoleon dynamited yourself. Yeah.
I was like, that was so rad. Everything about it. Yeah. But so how do you get from that, doing all that stuff? It's just so weird how we all get to doing movies at some point or making videos.
Well, you wanted to do movies.
We always wanted to do
movies.
Yeah,
I just want to be creative.
Yeah.
And my older brothers were into, they would make films and they would make like comedy little sketches and stuff. And I always was so impressed. And I was like, oh, they're so funny. I want to be funny. And so I think just trying to impress them like grew my desire for wanting to be in the creative space, and they didn't really continue to pursue that, and then I did, and I was like, okay, bye guys.
You're like, I win.
Yeah.
I win.
Wait, I want to know how did you guys all meet each other?
We all met in school. We all happened to be taking the same like
special
effects
class.
Oh, I thought you said, self-defense class.
We're all in self-defense class.
I was teaching these two guys chokeholds.
you know, USC kind of dangerous area. So, so yeah, we all met in the same class, and I remember distinctly because Dez had the greatest movie pitch for this class of all time, which involved the phrase that made me realize that, like, it was like me and Logan. The phrase that made us realize that we wanted to be friends with Dez was, he was like, then the president, dressed as Hitler, gets in the time machine lawnmower and activates the blades of time. And I was like, at that moment, everybody was something
like
over.
That. Something like that. Yeah.
That's like, it was something.
It was more eloquent
than that, to be fair.
I way better than that.
I definitely finished
Freddie
it better.
Does this pitch no justice.
So that movie's in post. Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait.
No, we never did that movie, unfortunately.
You know what?
But
I think we have a commitment to actually finish that. I'll dig up that script.
Dig up that script. We should
on
read
the YouTube
it. We should at least
blades
read it out loud on the.
It was called the Blades
podcast.
Of Time.
The Blades of Time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's too good to let it sit.
It was the whole special effects class was supposed to work on it together, mm-hmm. and then one kid.
We were
going to
shoot it on 35mm film.
Decided he was going to be director, and just started running the class like a production. And within like 2 weeks, our professor was like, "Just fuck it."
It fell apart. Like, yeah, he's like, "Oh,
you're
this guy's
an asshole.
A dick.
Everybody's
What's
not
that
having
kid
fun.
Doing now?"
We don't. Who cares? I hate that kid. Yeah.
Hopefully, he just liked your Instagram photo.
Ooh, speaking of which, Instagram update, ladies and gentlemen.
Good way to bring this podcast full circle here is, how did it do?
So we've been up. It's been up for 30. It's already had more comments than anything I've ever done.
Really?
And 325 likes in this amount of time, which is more than any of my other.
Sweet.
And
there
you
go. Dogs and faces, guys.
That's true.
Dogs
One of the faces. Comments is an entire.
Now, the question would be if your face and the dog would be in your.
Oh, that's
as
a good test.
We'll,
same
we'll do
same
a test.
Pose, same yeah. blurry, yeah. same caption, just your face instead of Grace's face.
It's not going to work.
It won't be the same.
That dog's thinking, can I be put down, please?
Oh, thanks, internet. You know how to make a girl feel sweet.
That's pretty dark, because that sentence can be read two ways.
Yeah.
Yes.
Weird. Heavy.
Awful.
So, Grace, what else you got going on? Let's plug some stuff before
we
wrap it up.
Oh, let's plug some things.
Yeah, plug.
Camp Dakota, our movie.
Oh, the movie.
Yeah. They are wrapping picture today, in fact. So it's now going to color correction and sound mixing fun stuff. And
awesome.
In the beginning of next year, it will be out. We don't have an exact date yet, but...
What's the movie about?
The movie is about... It's based on... So I did it with Hannah Hart, Mamrie Hart, and it's based on Mamrie's experiences being a camp counselor at an all-girls camp in North Carolina. Mm. And so my character... like, has a really bad time in life, loses her job, loses a boyfriend, gets drunk, and decides to go back to the camp that she grew up going to as a counselor. And so it's like a release from all technology and rekindling these old friendships with her old camp mates and being only around girls and not around guys for the summer. Mm. And it's really sweet. It's going to be
sounds
sweet.
Yeah, it's like Bridesmaids sort of, but a little sweet.
Is that going to go to the festival circuit, or is there distribution?
We are working on distribution now. Mm-hmm. We have to figure some things out, but it's moving forward in a positive way, and I can't really say more than that, unfortunately.
Okay, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's super exciting. It's crazy. I mean, it's one of those things, like, with YouTube, you get so used to like the instant gratification of just like making something and putting it right up, that this is like, I'm sure you guys had this with Game High School.
For sure.
It's like, oh, every 3 days I remember that this thing is existing in the world that will come out soon.
Yeah.
And it's super exciting.
Awesome.
It's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we'll see how it does. I think people will really like it.
And you continue doing your vlogs and
continuing that. We're doing a Northwest tour of comedy shows in Seattle and Portland and Vancouver and Victoria.
That sums
December.
Up the entire Northwest, by the way. That's everything.
Yeah,
everything.
I have never been. I've been to Portland. That's the only place I've been up there. I haven't been to Seattle. Yeah.
Seattle's great.
Is and it?
I'll give you a list of restaurants out there. They're just fantastic.
Yeah, I hear food's awesome, drinks are great, and the people are nice. So I'm into those things. And coffee.
So what's the great conceit coffee. Of the tour?
The conceit of the tour, it's called No Filter Show. It's a show that we've toured with a little bit on the East Coast, and it is... one, impartial promotion of Camp Dakota, mm-hmm. and two, we do sketches and characters and bits with the audience and songs, and it's kind of like a comedy variety show. We've done it here in Los Angeles at the Nerd Belt Theater a few times, and it's been really fun, because it's you get to only do so much online mm-hmm. that to do some other things in front of people is great, because I started out in Mamrie also. Mamrie used to do sketch comedy at UCB in New York. And so we both started out doing live stuff. And then we
the audience
gotten,
and everything.
Yeah,
which,
yeah,
it was
which is
thrilled.
So fun. Yeah. Oh, it's so awesome. So to get to do that more, is
and
really
it's also
cool.
It's also really easy for people to be like, oh, they're just a YouTube person. That's it. Mm-hmm. And they kind of get
yeah.
bottle you in. A little
yeah,
bit.
Exactly. And we like people to know, like, this is a show. Like, we've written things for this show. It's yeah. not just going to be us, like, at
yabbing.
VidCon getting up and doing a Q&A
yeah.
with you
yeah.
guys.
Yeah.
So it's we've put thought and effort, and we have costumes. So
there you go. Well, that's all you need. That's thought, it. Effort, and costumes.
Exactly.
We usually only get away with one of those over here at Rock and Jam. But yeah, so and you are Grace Helbig on Twitter
yeah.
and Instagram. Big I'm told the rocking this Instagram around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, I can't wait now to keep abreast of all of your Instagram photo updates, and hopefully you will take some of the notes that I've given you.
I've already written them down into the notes app. On my phone.
Oh, thank God.
Fizzar Podcast sponsored by premium Apple products. Anyway.
Samsung.
There you go.
Done.
Got it out.
Nokia.
Got it. Look in the mirror three times. Say
Nokia Coke. Anything else we want money from?
Anyone who
McDonald's.
Wants to give it to us,
oh, yeah.
really.
Yeah,
it's great.
Del Taco.
There you go. Thank you, Del Taco.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks for stopping out.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having
me. Fantastic.
My three dads. It's my three dads. That's my sign off.
That's the end.